Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. Let's talk about the Bay Area Bisexual Network a bit. One of the longest running bi groups in the U.S. Welcome, Martin Rawlingson. Is it Finn?
Fine.
Of course it is. Welcome, Martin Rawlingson, to our show.
Hi, I'm John.
I'm Lynette.
And I'm Martin.
All right, so tell us about the BABN.
The Bay Area Bisexual Network, yeah. Well, Lynette, BABN has been around since 1987. It's a group of bi and allied folks wanting to develop a healthy, vibrant, and multicultural bisexual community in the San Francisco Bay Area and its nine counties. We try to bring intersectionality to everything we do, including we work with other groups like SF Pride, the Kapali group, and other groups. Our bi-trans brunch, our bi-men's happy hour, which is open to all who consider themselves on the masculine spectrum. And we just play well with others.
Oh, we love it.
Yeah, we try. That should be one of our goals.
Yes, exactly.
So can you talk about the plans that you have for Bi Visibility Day, Bi Pride Day, Celebrate Bisexuality Day this year?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked about that. We're going to have a great time at the Mint. It's a bar on the intersection of DeBosa Market in San Francisco. It's a karaoke bar, and the event will be hosted by some really great folks like my wife Shelley, and BABN's amazing volunteer coordinator, Jen. We sing a lot of bi-related songs. Bicycle will probably feature big, as will anything by David Bowie. And we'll have a space from 6 to 9 p.m., which is really great because there's ever, never any space there at all for anybody. So we got actually some space set aside for us. And bring your bi-related gear and your voice and have a good time with it.
Sounds fantastic.
I know.
Great.
Oh, and happy belated birthday to you last month.
Oh, yes, thank you.
So BABN has been instrumental with the wonderful Biconic Flashpoints exhibit at the GLBT Museum in San Francisco. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Oh, wow. You know, the Biconic Flashpoints exhibit started as an email thread between Don Romsberg and the community. He's the community gallery coordinator, myself, Lonnie Kahumanu, Emily Drennan, and Linda Susan Ulrich was brought in a little bit later by Emily. All big parts of BABN, they're totally huge in here, although Emily and Linda just did move away. The bisexual in general, they're really big in all that area. So it grew from this little seed planted by Don, who's an amazing ally. He keeps on being stellar in everything he does. And we separated it out to 1984 and BIPOL, and the 1990 conference, in the 90s to the 2000s. And I got to work on this really amazing bit of bi history, the National Bisexual Conference in San Francisco. I got to take the videotape and edit it down to like some few snippets. I had to for a whole week, two, 3 weeks, I was just pouring through this footage, trying to find the best parts to represent our big, huge bisexual community here in San Francisco. And actually, the exhibit was supposed to be up in August. It was just supposed to be down in August. And what happened is that Don advocated for us, and we actually have it up indefinitely now in the community gallery. The entire bi organization, all of the stuff from the 80s and 90s and 2000s is still up there, and it's beautiful. Everybody should just head on down to 18th and Castro and take it in. Write in the book that you went, because it's an amazing find.
It's on my list. I want to be there. I'm so happy to hear that it actually is hanging in for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I was excited.
Yeah.
When I found it, I went by in late August, and I said, oh, I looked in the door, and I saw it, and I was like, why is it still up? And, the people on staff said, well, it's up indefinitely. And I ran and talked to Don, whose daughter is my daughter's best friend. So we see each other at school all the time. we were chatting, and I was like, so what's up with that? And he said, well, it's up indefinitely. He said, I'm the community gallery coordinator, and I don't have time. I really can't take it down. And they were like, okay, fine. It stays up then. So it was beautiful. I mean, he's a great app.
That's fantastic.
Yes, I told you I would hit you up with how bisexuals do history, because, I'm on the other coast. I actually live in D.C., but Washington, which is the federal city, actually lives on top of me. But we actually have our own local history, and we actually have a national bisexual history that I think a lot of times we aren't able to get out there. Like locally, we have the Rainbow History Project, and oh God, it must have been about a year ago, some of the founders sent me the page that was up for Bi History, and you know, I was like, I live a lot of this, and some of it just not correct. And you know, I think that I would like to ask about how do we preserve bisexual history, and not just the leaflets and brochures and, you know, programs that exist from years and years ago, but now we've been on the internet for a lot of years. How do we preserve that electronic history so that the little bisexual historians who we're raising right now can go and like find the resources and actually like write history books for us, like do installations like you've done in San Francisco?
You know, I think that's a really good question. Part of the thing is that we are a people who don't really hold on. Well, we hold on to these things, but they end up in boxes in the garage, and they're not looked at that often. And we're the people doing the history. That's the thing. It was really amazing to have Dawn come to us about this, because usually we're the ones who catalog our own histories, right? And to take a page out of the trans history stuff, there's a person named Lou Sullivan who died quite a while ago, but he kept diaries. He kept every single thing he ever wrote down, just in case. And he was a historian, so he held on to everything. And he was one of the founders of the GLBT Historical Society, which is actually really interesting. You walk in there and there's a little section with some of his stuff in it, which is nice. But I think that, you know, we have to keep cataloging this stuff and archiving it. And we really have to be doing it. We can't rely on others to update our histories and to make those assumptions, because usually they'll be monosexual assumptions. And you want to make sure that we all have a part in it. And I like the idea of like the little bisexual historians that we're raising right now. You know, we need to keep archiving that stuff, and especially the online stuff. The online stuff really needs to have a hard copy component. You know, I hate to say printing out, but something that you can hold on to, because it's not always going to be there. The Internet Archive is a great place to find stuff, but sometimes, yeah, like even the ATM webpage, the Anything That Moves webpage, you can't actually find old copies like they used to have on the site. So you have to like rely upon others who've held onto those copies of the images and the PDFs
The actual copies. I have like copies, you know, ATM in my archives, you know, my physical archives.
Yeah.
Because I was a reader.
Yeah. My wife was one of the writers. So it becomes the onus is on us a lot of the times to do our own history and to make sure that it's represented in the right way. But it really comes down to keeping those archives and keeping the text archives and the newsletters and the emails and everything archived, so that you have like a hard copy of it. Because at some point, you know, we're all going to pass on, and then we want those things to go on, and so people can actually find them. And donate things to the historical societies in your area. That's a really big thing. If people don't donate the stuff, then nobody knows the history. If nobody has all those t-shirts that are sitting in a box, you know, in your garage, or no one has all those old newsletters from your buy group, then you don't have a history, and people won't be able to look it up. And archives are wonderful for that kind of thing.
You know, it was funny. I found our Celebrate Bisexuality Week from 2000 on an old, you know, it was still there. It was on the Yahoo group.
Oh, wow.
Because, you know, one of our members, that was their job, to post to Yahoo. Mm-hmm. In those days, we had a couple of websites, but, you know, none of them exist anymore. I found some of the resources by going to the Wayback Machine and,
totally,
you know, and just going and sharing stuff. But, you know, the other thing I found was a national conference that we did in 2000, which I don't think it was really up on the internet. I mean, we just, know, is, you know, all the, you know, like all the people we all know were speakers at it. And we had a, actually a really good local history discussion for our Pride event, this year. Lorraine Hutchins and A. Billy Penn and Jones were the speakers. And my goal was to just like, let them talk history. And, you know, I brought some of this old stuff and, you know, people just said, oh yeah, I remember, I was there. And so, you know, we really do have to share that history with ourselves. And I also think that these young people coming up need to understand that there is a bisexual history so that they understand that they come out into not this horrible world, but they come out into a place in which we've been there, we're around them, and we've done that, and we've already broken a lot of grass for them.
Yeah, totally. It's one of those things where the youth in our community, you know, if they don't have the access to the information about what's been done before, you know, we keep spinning our wheels. And
exactly.
It would be great, you know, to have, you know, another National Bisexual Conference in San Francisco, but not have people say, oh, it's the first National Bisexual Conference in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you know, you were talking about a conference you had in D.C. where, you know, you didn't get the word out as much as possible, but, you know, it was a small thing. But those things, those are firsts. Those are, like, really wonderful firsts that we can hold on to and, you know, build upon.
I mean, everybody who we know was there. It was, you know,
they're like
10 14 bisexual. Years ago. 14 years ago. And, you know, another thing I'll ask is, you know, I came out and, you know, well, I kind of came out and was confused and didn't come out in the early 80s. And I know that San Francisco, before AIDS and all that, had an early bisexual community. I would like to actually ask what you know about that pre-AIDS bisexual community that existed in the days of free love.
Well, there was the Bisexual Community Center, which was a really wonderful place to go. You kind of sat there and crashed, and it was wonderful that they actually had such a thing. And, you know, unfortunately, AIDS really gutted our community. We had to rebuild, you know, the women had to rebuild. And it's a very sad part of our history. And, you know, there were those swinging 70s times that, you know, people were very excited about. And, you know, I think that AIDS really did hit us. It hit us hard. And I have like this imagination of what it was like. My wife collects the books about what it was like pre-AIDS. I think that to have, you know, the original diaries or something from bi people in that era would be an immensely lovely thing to have here, especially, you know, at the archives or something like that. And maybe you should go check them out and see if there is an archive to show you what life was like in the swinging 70s for the bi community. I know that
in the West Coast.
Yeah, in the West Coast. Well,
I was in the East Coast being like, you know, I was mostly a teenager and a young adult and the, you know, in the swinging to plague days. So, you know, you know, I hit both ends.
Well, you know, the bisexual community center was started, I think, 1976. It was on Hayes Street.
Yeah.
And, you know, they offered support groups, counseling, social events, newsletters, like everything. And it publicly aligned itself with the gay movement, with the official gay movement. In fact, some of our crack and peel stickers from back in the 80s show BIPOL, you know, a bisexual political action group.
Right.
Being the lesbian, gay, bisexual, group. Like, so, you know, it was very publicly aligned with the gay movement, you know, and So, you know, there were a lot of stuff. There was a lot of stuff going on there, but then after, it shut its doors in 1984. After the gay cancer epidemic dawned. So
yeah, it was a time in which it was really hard. I think it was hard for being gay. It was like doubly hard for being bisexual.
Oh, yeah.
And it was triply hard for being Haitian and gay or bisexual, because that was another group of people who were like, you know, shown to be the transmitters of this horrible disease before we had really good information about what it was.
Exactly. It's always the scapegoat, right?
Yeah. We were, and you know, and like, I actually look at San Francisco as a place in which the plague really was hard. And, you know, when you had a bisexual community that was kind of closed down and actually had to rebuild after the plague.
We had to rebuild completely. You know, Bay Area Bisexual Network was sort of start in 1987, was started, you know, from that, the leftovers of those people who were part of that bicultural center.
Right.
Wow, guys, you're really into it.
Sorry.
Oh yeah, we're like, I told you I'd do history here.
Learning a lot.
Yeah. I know a bit. It's great to like ask when I have questions. Martin, what else do you want to talk about?
We talked about the event on Tuesday. We talked about our other events. If you ever want to know anything else about the Bay Area Bisexual Network, it's just www.bayareabisexualnetwork.org. And we have events, we have a calendar, we have the bi-friendly events in the East Bay. There's a link there to those. And then we've got some resources, and you can always find us at the brunch on the fourth Saturday of the month, bi-monthly. Next month will be our next one at the Crepevine, and having the bi-trans brunch, where we love intersectionality.
Awesome. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Great. And, you know, all these links are going to be provided on our website.
Great.
And we've already asked if there's anything you want to add. So I think we've got you.
Great.
Gotcha.
It's great. Like, this bi-coastal discussion.
Yay.
We're bi-coastal too. Martin, come back anytime you want to. Just let us know, okay?
Hey, no worries. Have a great time.
Awesome. Remember, you are not wrong, you are not broken, and you are not alone. You are a human being, and you are bisexual, and you got to fight for your right to party. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
And party for your right to fight.
Yeah, party for your right to fight. Thanks, Martin. That was great. I think we did it in 25, almost 24 minutes. That's
great.
Oh, no.
It's like 20. It's not even 24 yet.
Yeah, it's 23.
And we probably have, I think we're going to be at 23. This is the kind of stuff that if we can keep it together, we can start putting to NPR.
I know. To NPR. Know.
That's my goal. My goal is like, I've got like my close buddy as the executive director for The Current, which is like the magazine of the whole like public broadcasting NPR scene. And, you know, she keeps like, she's my cheerleader to get us to the point where we can start putting this stuff up on public radio.
That's great.
And
that's a dream. So, that's a dream.
That's my goal.
That's your goal. Wasn't my goal, but hey, I'll work with you. I'll help you get your goal there. I got
it would
a whole
be
bunch
nice
of
to make money off of it, but you know that's.
Well, it would be. But that's another dream.
I know it's everybody's dream, isn't it?
Yeah. I got your links up. Did you have a chance to look to see if I got everybody? I got them all.
Let me take a look here.
I'm looking at.
Okay.
Oh yeah, just you know, I have to like quit smoking.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you know, anytime like a bisexual like admonishes me about smoking, I'm like, don't you know our statistics?
Yeah.
I'm smoking so that you don't smoke. So that you're not in the percentage. Thank me.
Oh, you know, I just realized something I didn't say. This week is the high holidays. This is Rosh Hashanah.
I was gonna
talk about you know, this is Rosh Hashanah, and on the 23rd is the day before Rev Rosh Hashanah, and we have a bi blessing for the bisexual visibility week. So that was pretty cool to put that together, and I posted it to our events page and in my own little blog, so that we can get communities around us to actually say the words of bisexual blessing on Rosh Hashanah on the birth of the new year. So it's pretty cool.
That's fantastic. Thank you for doing that. That
I know,
is really
like
awesome.
It falls in these days like on a number of years.
Yes.
You know?
Exactly.
It seems like I would like just guesstimate about every 6 or 7 years.
Yeah. About that.
Okay, so you okay, all right, I'll
yeah, and we all need peace.
All the help we can get.
You know, well, we need. I mean, we really do need peace this year.
We do.
Totally. Completely.
I just hope that, you know, I just hope that maybe the intersection of celebrate Bisexuality Day and Rosh Hashanah this year can like get to the deities to like get them to do something up there.
Exactly.
For us all.
Exactly. Somebody do something about it.
I wanted to ask you, Martin, I put together that Biconic Flashpoints, and I know it's really long, but I wanted to get everything in there. How did you like that? Or have you seen it, the YouTube video?
Oh, yeah, that was great. Thanks for taking all that footage that Faith put together and putting it into like a film. Don actually thought that was great. He says, you know, this is the most engaged community I've ever seen, that you would put a film together about an event.
Yeah. It got up pretty quick. Oh. Well, Monday I have a camera and I have hopefully enough SD memory space to make the
you better go buy
Faith and
one.
Ellen, the Faith and Ellen event go really well, and we can like put it up.
Go buy an extra SD card. We decided to do this, and I finished learning how to do it, and then I put it up. It was like that quick.
Yeah, it was wonderful. It was like a guerrilla activism right there in that.
Yeah, we wanted everybody to see it and say, hey, get there and see this is what's happening. So, yay, thank you for that. I like that you liked it.
Thank you. Thank you for putting
it
up.
It was great. You know, it was like I've got a tripod, so like. Stabilization is key.
I had Faith's phone. That was what I had.
Really?
Yeah, exactly. And it's like,
great quality.
Yeah. I mean, the phone, you know.
You have to use
it. You know,
there
is no, like, there's no C-mount on a phone.
Yeah, you have to use your body as the mount, basically.
Exactly.
You put your elbow to your side, and you hold the camera, and try to keep it as still as possible. So,
yeah. I'm going to let you get off the phone.
Okay.
All right. All right.
See you
later. Thank you so much. This has been great.
Okay. Great.
If I ever get to the West Coast, I'm going to like hang out with you.
Okay.
Bye, Martin.
Bye.
The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew. All right. Another one. Good one in the bag there.
Yeah. I told you what I was going to do, and I think I did a good job of doing it.
I think you did an excellent job of doing it. Very good. Very informative. good stuff. And, you know, giving people things like, hey, I'm going to start saving my crap, you know, yeah. and donate it because, yeah, or find my crap because I'm sure there's all kinds of stuff out there.
Oh, yeah.
Nip it back.